In John chapter 20, Jesus has already been crucified. And he has also been raised from the dead by the glory of God. And the disciples have now all gathered together. And I believe there are probably many questions in their minds about what was their next step, what should be their next move now that Jesus had been crucified. But here Jesus is going to answer the question for them without a doubt who he is, who he was. In John chapter 20, verse number 19, it says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews." Now they had had a difficult time. They had been declaring that Jesus was God, and he was the Son of God, and he was going to bring about salvation in the whole world. And there were many of the Jews who did not believe, and now Jesus had been crucified, had been beaten, had been taken away, had been killed, had been buried. And here the disciples are all in the room with the door locked, fearing for their lives. And the Bible says they were there with the door shut. And when they were there with the door shut, came Jesus, and he stood in the midst. He didn't have a key. He didn't need one. The Bible says he came and he stood in the midst and saith unto them, "Peace be unto you." And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Now, I want you to understand, this is why I believe John could write. He could write the words that says, "We have heard, we have seen, we have looked upon, we have handled the word of life, Christ," because Christ came to them right there in the midst of their trouble. He appeared there and he showed them his hands and his side. And then the Bible says, were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord? Why were they glad, guys? Because they knew without a doubt. He was worthy of their faith and of their praise. He was that man that they had been looking for, that Messiah, and he had come. He had gained victory over them. John said, "We've seen him, we've looked upon him, our hands have handled him, the word of life." But still, further evidence, get down to verse number 26 in the same chapter. We know that there not all of the disciples were present. Thomas wasn't there. And Thomas obviously had a hard time believing that Jesus had appeared out of nowhere. That he had shown them his hands and his side, and that they had handled him, they had seen him. And in John 26, it says, "And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. And then came Jesus, the doors being shut." He did it again. "And stood in the midst and said, 'Peace be unto you.' Then saith he to Thomas, 'Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing.' And Thomas answered and said unto him, 'Why? Because his eyes have seen it, because his ears have heard it, because he had been offered to handle the very word of God.' Thomas said unto him, 'My Lord and my God.'" Translation: "Lord, I believe." You are God. You are who you said you are. "And Jesus saith unto him, 'Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen me, and yet have believed.'" God, look at me. If you believe today, I know you've never seen Jesus face to face, but if you believe today, based on the word of God, God says you'll be blessed. Because that's what faith is. That's what faith is all about. God gave John the inspiration to write up what he saw, what he heard, and what he touched, so that we might know who Jesus is. He was the man. He's God. So, who is Jesus? He is that which was from the beginning. He's also that which was made. And finally, he is that which brought us fellowship. One more time, back to 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, says, That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. It is God, the man, that brought salvation to us. And through the salvation of Christ, we have fellowship on earth with other believers. But greater still, through the salvation of Christ, we have and will forever have fellowship with the Father and with His Son, Jesus. Now, when Jesus, the man, was preparing to bring about salvation, he prayed. His prayer was an example to us, first of all, that we ought to pray. And his prayer was an example also to us of the confidence that we can have in God. Look at John chapter 17, page 796. This time, let's start reading at verse number 13. John chapter 17, we see Jesus the man, Jesus the bringer of salvation, Jesus preparing that we might have fellowship with He and with the Father. John 17, beginning at verse number 13, it says, Jesus is in prayer. He says, "And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves." Now that's fellowship. He says, I want you to have my joy fulfilled in yourself. I want you to have the confidence of Christ in your heart and in your life. He says, "I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." Now you see the difference there. Jesus says, when we become one in Him, we're no longer in the world. We're in the world, but we're no longer of the world. He says we can be separate from that, and we can have fellowship with Him. If we're not of the world, then where are we? We're with Christ. Crucified with Christ. Yet I no longer live, but Jesus Christ lives within me. He says, we can now be not of the world, but of Christ. And verse number 17 says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world." And verse number 19 got me real excited, guys. Because Jesus prayed, "And for their sakes, I sanctify myself." I sanctify myself. Now we think about what it means to be sanctified. It means to be purified. And you think about it. Jesus saying he had to be purified. He had to be consecrated. No, I don't think that's what it means at all, because there was no sin in him. But what Jesus is saying there is that he was going to set himself apart for us. He says, "I'm sanctifying myself. I'm sanctifying myself for their sakes." He says, "I'm going to set myself apart. I'm going to set myself up to be the sacrifice for them." And why? He said, "That they also might be sanctified, that they might be set aside, that they might be set apart through the truth, that we might be in fellowship with Him." He says, "I set myself apart so that you might be set apart with me, so that you and I might be in joint fellowship with the Father." Amen. That's who God is. That was the purpose of His coming, that we might have fellowship. He knew no sin, but He wanted us. He wanted us to be set aside so that we might see the truth, He said. So that we might hear the truth and know the truth. So that we might feel the truth. And I'm picking on John here, so that we might handle the truth. So that we might know it to be true. Verse 20, he says, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." We'll never see him, not as the man, not walking about, not teaching. But he says he was praying for us who would have to believe, even though we could not physically see him. And I believe that was John's inspiration to keep preaching, to keep teaching the way. Verse 21, he says, "That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. You see the fellowship that Jesus has brought to us. Who is Jesus? He's the bringer of fellowship. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved me as thou hast loved me. Hast loved them as thou hast loved me. He says, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. There's a fellowship that Jesus has brought to us, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known me, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I am. He brought us fellowship. Fellowship with the Father. Fellowship with the righteous. And we'll dwell with them one day. Well, who is Jesus? We must know with certainty who Jesus is. Or we have an empty faith. We'll just have a faith in a faith if we don't know who Jesus is. We've got to have a faith in the Father, in His Word, and in His Word. Who is Jesus? He's God. That which was from the beginning. That which became man for us. That which brought us fellowship so that we might be one with Christ and one with the Father. To you, the question is, to you, who is Jesus? Your answer is anything other than Jesus is God. And I invite you to be the Lord Savior. And He'll show you who you are. Let's pray. Precious Father, we're thankful for the completeness of Your Word, and that we can depend upon Your Word for all things and in all times. Lord, I pray today that there is no question in the hearts of those who are listening about who Jesus is. I pray, Father, that we might all be able, willing to declare He's God. He was there in the beginning because He is God. He created all things because He is God. Not anything that was made was made without Him because He is God. And He is that light that shined out of darkness. He's God. He is that Messiah, the one that You promised, the one who would come, who would be despised and would be rejected, who would be spat upon, who would be beaten, who would be sacrificed, Father, who would be given for us. He's that man, that one who would be raised from the dead by the glory of God the Father. He is that one who is the precious gift of God, on whose name if any man will call upon, will be saved, Father, and not perish. He's that man. He is the bringer of our fellowship. It is through that man, Jesus Christ, our God, that we can have complete communion with our God and our Father. Lord, I pray that we might cherish our Savior, our God, our Jesus, our Christ. We might cherish Your great plan for us. And I pray, Father, that we might cherish it in our hearts so dearly that none will be able to separate us, none will be able to deter us, nothing will be able to distract us from our love for all. Lord, I love You today. I love You for Your Word. I praise Your name with all my heart. I praise You, Father, in Jesus' name.